And I think we'll go ahead and preach this morning. We're running a little late, so I'm just going to go ahead and try to bring the message this morning, okay? Ask God's help on it. I've enjoyed the service. I'd like to have a good time. I don't know about the rest of you, but Brother Hall enjoys having a good time. And I try to keep my heart as merry as I can. I don't always express it on the outside, but I try to keep it that way the best I can. I've got a pitiful smile. I have to force a smile. It runs in my family. It's just something I can't help. And I'm going to try to grow out of it one of these days when I get a little older. Amen. I'm still just a young man. Got a long way to go in life. And never know what God might do for me. All right. Philippians chapter 1. Let's all stand together. Philippians and chapter number 1 in your Bibles this morning. Philippians and chapter number 1 in the Word of God for today. Philippians chapter number 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 8 this morning, okay? Dear Brother Paul writing here, and he said, "For God is my record, how greatly I longed after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Let's bow our heads together and ask the Lord for help. Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning for the precious Word of God that you've given us. Lord, how it's blessed our lives and how it not only saved us and delivered us from sin, but it's kept us from sin. We rejoice in that. We thank you, Lord, for the singing this morning, the fellowship we've already had, the Sunday school time. I pray you'll provide liberty now. I need your divine help. I need your power. I need your unction that can only the Spirit of God can provide. I pray you'll do that for not only me, Lord, but for the people, for their sake, and for your glory. I do ask you to help Brother Foley's mother this morning and others that we've been praying for, that you'd touch their sick and ailing bodies. Bless those that have lost loved ones and are grieving. Help them. We ask you now to bless the preaching, anoint, and give power and liberty. May precious souls that Christ died for come to thee this morning. And may your people, Lord, that are in help and need, find it. And we'll thank you for what's done and what's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Paul said in verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." And by the help of God, I want to use these verses, really three of them this morning, and preach for a little while on the thought, longings for love. Longings for love. And don't count me a heathen and a reprobate or something of that nature because I'm preaching on love. Don't call me a compromiser because I'm preaching on love. I think that we'll find in the Word of God it's the highest position that can be attained by a Christian is that of being Christ-like. And if we're going to be that way, then we're going to have to be full of love because God is love. Now, this is the second time in these nine verses that Paul reminds these Philippian believers that he is praying on their behalf. And his prayers is that their love, which is already burning and very brightly within their heart, would yet abound more and more. He said there in verse 9, "And this I pray." He said over in verse number 4, "Always in every prayer of mine." So this is twice that he's prayed for them. And this time he's praying that their love would yet abound more and more. I believe he's praying that their heart, within their heart, that they might have a longing for love. Not only to be loved, to be like Christ, but to love others as well. I think that is one of the greatest Christian attributes that we can have. In fact, I know it is. And that is to love as Christ loved us. We're called upon to love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. We're called upon to love sinners because Christ did. And then we are to love one another. And it's already been said on Friday night, husbands are called upon to love their wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The apostle here longs to see every defect and every disfigurement removed from our love. Everything given to it that can increase its strength and its beauty until it reaches of a place, as Peter called it, unfeigned love for the brethren. You know, that's a great love. When our love is unfeigned, that is, when it has no animosity or no hatred, no wrath within it, no anger within it. It's unfeigned love. In other words, it's not put on. I think so often today that love that we so display is not an actual heartfelt love. But it's love that is, it's fiend love. It's a hypocritical love. It's not real. It's fake. It's make-believe. It's phony. And, you know, it's one thing to tell somebody you love them, but it's another thing to prove to them that you love them. The Lord said that he loved the world, and then he proved he loved it by giving his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So let's not tell someone that we love them. Let's prove to them that we love them by our actions and not have a hypocritical love. Not smile at someone and say, I love you. And all the time we're going behind their back doing things that whatever we can in order to cause them harm or evil or just to do things in spite of them. If one member of our new man be stunted in its development, then the whole body will suffer from it. It's just like the human body. A man can be strong. I told you the story of the black man that I saw at the VA walking down the hallway, a giant of a man. He stood like Saul among the Jews. He was a head and shoulder above everybody else in that hallway at the VA hospital on that day. And I thought, my, what a man. But when he got to where I was, both of his arms, as he had lost in combat in Iraq. And oh, how my heart went out to that man. And yet he kept such a cheerful spirit. He sat and laughed, stood and laughed while I stood and wept because of both arms being missing. But the point I'm making is that because those arms are missing, his whole body is going to suffer because of that. He's going to have to learn how to eat again. He's going to have to learn how to drink water again. He's got to learn how to pick up things and carry them again. In other words, his whole body is going to suffer. And so it is with a child of God. If our growth is stunted in one area, our entire body is going to suffer because of it. And there's many graces in the Word of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. And if we're short in one of those or stunted in one of those areas, then we're going to have problems within our entire spiritual body and spiritual life. Here we find the queenly position of love among the graces that is set before us. And that is faith and hope are in their degree powerful, and they're glorious. But it is love who wears the crown, and it is love that sways the scepter. Faith and hope just simply lay the tribute at the feet of love. And so it is. And, you know, there's stages of love in our Christian life. Paul said that you may abound yet more and more in love. When he said more and more, that tells me that there are stages of growth within our Christian love. I think, first of all, that there is a stage of infancy when we're just little children. You know, we love must learn to grow or to crawl before it can walk. A child can only crawl before they can walk. And so it is with love. You were not born spiritually full of the Christian love. It's something that's got to grow within your life. Just like a baby, just like a little infant child. They learn to crawl before they ever walk. And I'll tell you something else. They learn to drink from a baba or put a foo-foo in their mouth before they ever learn to chew on a steak. Now, I've got beyond that. I don't want a foo-foo in my mouth. And I'm not looking for a sipper cup. I'm looking for a porterhouse. Amen right there. And that's the way it is with our growth. There's stages of our growth. There's of love. There's first that stage of infancy when we're just a baby in Christ and we've not really learned everything there is to know about love. We receive, as an infant, we receive provide love before it can ever be understood. You know, a baby don't really understand everything about love. How can they? They're just a baby. But yet they know how to give love. All they got to do is smile. All they got to do is reach out and take that little hand and grab a hold of you. And they can provide love. And I'll tell you something else. They can receive love. You kitchy-coo them on the chin, and they'll receive love. And you know, as a Christian, just being born lately, being a child, so to speak, you know how to receive love, and you know how to give love. But I'll be quite honest with you, you don't really understand love. I've said so many times, and I'll say it again, teenagers and young people, when they get married, they talk about how they love one another. I'll guarantee you it's 99% lust and 1% love. You learn how to lust a long time before you ever learn how to love. You can say, amen or oh me, it don't bother me one way or the other, but that's an absolute fact. That's an absolute fact. So there's an infant stage there that you really don't understand. You provide love, you receive love, but you don't really understand what love is all about. And then there's that stage of youth, and when we begin to grow up a little bit, and it knows how to receive love, but it knows very little as we grow a little about how to give love. Now, I can say that in honesty, in real honesty. I'd say many of you in here this morning that are young people, you don't have any problem knowing how to receive love from somebody else, but you have a hard problem understanding how to give that love back to somebody else. I mean, just like mommy and daddy, you can receive all the love in the world from mama and daddy, but sooner or later you're going to backtalk them or be contrary to the will that they have for your life at the present time. And in doing that, you're telling me that you're willing to receive their love, but you don't understand love. Therefore, you cannot give love back to them because love learns to be obedient. That's exactly right. And so there is a stage of youth in our love. And then there's a stage of manhood. And here we become transparent. Here's where love becomes transparent in our manhood. That is, it has nothing to conceal. Can I say to you that pure love has nothing to conceal? Our Lord concealed absolutely nothing from us. He is love, by the way. And there's nothing there to conceal. When a man learns to love as Christ loved, whether he is open to all forms of investigation and all forms of inquiry, just like Philip was when he saw Nathanael and said, come and see. When we're grown and mature in our Christianity and in our love has no problem of saying, come and see. I don't have anything to hide. No, when I say I love you as a mature Christian, I'm not being a hypocrite about it. I really love you. Even if you have offended me and I tell you I love you and I'm a mature Christian, I have nothing to conceal, nothing to hide. Come and see. That's exactly right. So many people today, they say they love, but they want to, hey, they got too much in there to hide. Our love ought to be transparent. There ought to be a thing in there that we conceal or that we hide. It all ought to be open for the Lord. Then there is a structure of love's growth. There's a structure of love's growth. There's the stages of love's growth, but there's a structure of love's growth. He said, that you love, that your love may abound, yet more and more. But not just more and more, but more and more what? In knowledge. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge. Now, there is a root of knowledge. And it is especially important that knowledge grow. Knowledge has got to grow. Because the knowledge of divine truth received through faith is the root from which Christian character springs. And I'm going to tell you what, there is very little Christian character in our churches today. I'm talking about things like honesty. Being honest with one another. Being honest about paying our debts. Being honest with people out in the community. Being honest with our family. Being honest with our friends. And hey, by the way, honesty doesn't try to hide anything. It doesn't try to conceal anything. It brings it all out in the open. If we're honest, we'll bring it all out in the open and let folks know exactly what we are. Somebody say amen right there. And so there is that root of knowledge. There is that root of knowledge. Now love will never abound more and more without the knowledge of its purpose and its function. What is the purpose and the function of a root? Well, a root of knowledge gives love its stability. You take a tree that's planted in the ground. That root stabilizes that tree. The deeper the root, the more stable it is. I've got some trees over at the house. Did have some until the storm came through, the ice storm. And they were poplar trees. Unfortunately, their roots don't go deep in the ground. And many of them, trees this big around, fail. You know why they fail? Their root wasn't very deep. But I had some oak trees over there, that root goes way down in the soil. And brother, I'm going to tell you, they're still standing today. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that if our love is really rooted and grounded in Christ, the deeper that root is in Christ, the stronger, the more stable that we're going to be. Now I'm telling you, love is the pinnacle of our Christianity. Amen. Now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity, and it is the pinnacle of our Christianity. You can say, amen or oh me. And we've got to have a taproot that is deep. If it's not, we'll be cold today and hot tomorrow. We'll say we love somebody today and run them off tomorrow. We'll say we love somebody today and we're upset with them tomorrow. We get angry with them today. Tell them we love them tomorrow. We're not stable. Love is something that is stable, ladies and gentlemen, in its maturity. And it's real. And come on. Brother Steve said a lot of people ain't smiling this morning. You still ain't smiling. I don't see many smiles yet. You know what I almost done this morning? I hope you won't get mad at me about this. But I was sitting there in Sunday school this morning. Now, I don't know why the thought came over me. But the thought came over me, maybe what you ought to do this morning is just walk, get up there and open up your Bible and tell the church, I'm not preaching another word till some of you in here get right with each other. Boy, that'll climb up, won't it? I'm not so sure sometimes we ought not to do that. Somebody said, preacher, I'm going to tell you why things are tight all the time. It's because people are not right with one another. Amen. Amen. Come on in the house, boys and girls. But I'm telling you, if we're mature in our Christian love, if we're mature Christians, we have got a root that is stable enough that it'll hold us firm in one place in our love. It will not waver regardless of whether we're offended, whether we're talked about, cursed to our face. It will stand the same and love the same as it always has. It'll never change. You think God's love for us ever changes? I tell thee nay. Somebody said it does when we sin. No, it doesn't. He still loves you when he busts you high and in. You say amen to that. God loves us. Amen. Regardless, God loves us. His love for us never changes. But He doesn't love what we do necessarily, our actions. But He'll always love us. It's stable and it never wavers. But I'm telling you, so many of us, our love will waver because the root is not deep enough in that pinnacle of our Christianity, which is to love one another regardless of the situation, the circumstances, and everything else around us. We are to love one another. That's what the book says, don't it? Love one another. I believe that's what the Bible says. Now, and I'm going to tell you, I know a little bit about love. You've got to have a little knowledge. I believe my text is that you may, and in this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. Got to have a little bit of knowledge. You know what Hosea said? Many of you already know. My people are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. Now I'm going to tell you, we have no knowledge of love. Come on in the house. How are we going to abound yet more and more in love if we don't have a knowledge about love? He said my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs 10:14, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. I never really got a hold of that till I wrote it down. The wise man lays it up. In other words, a wise man that's got some knowledge, most of the time, keeps his mouth shut. Amen. But a fool runs his mouth like an idiot. Amen. He'll just open her up wide and let her fly. In other words, what he's saying there is, if we've got some real knowledge, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have to tell everything that we know. Amen. We don't have to complain about everything that ain't right. We don't have to gripe about everybody that's offended us a little bit. We'll keep it in our mouth. But if we're like a fool, we'll open up our mouth and let her all fly out to everybody. Amen. I mean, we want everybody to know how we feel. I'm telling you, that's the way Baptists are. You can say amen or oh me. I've been around them for over 30 years. I know how Baptists are. They want everybody in the church to know exactly how they feel, and they're going to tell them how they feel. Not much knowledge in that. And there's not much love in that. A friend loveth at all times.
Amen.
Is that what the book says or not? Sure it does. Now, listen carefully. This root of knowledge gives love its direction. It is the structure of that tree's root that determines whether it grows straight or has a tendency to lean in one way or the other. Some of you guys in here that go out in the woods a lot and hunt, you've seen an old tree that's standing there leaning like this, and you look at it, and it's kind of growing in a ground that is not really flat, and it's kind of leaning over. Some of them may be on flat ground, and they're leaning a little bit. Oh, but you may be seeing some of them old trees that's standing right straight up in the air. You know why? Because their root, the way their root is designed, the structure of that root in the ground. And I'm telling you, hey, we gotta be structured in the love of God. Our love has got to be structured in Christ, and it's got to be structured right. It can't run crooked or sideways. It's got to be straight. Amen. If we're going to be straight in our love with one another, then that root, that knowledge, has got to be straight, ladies and gentlemen. Can't have any crooked roots about it. I've seen these old trees growing outside on these hillsides, and they'll grow out this way, or they'll grow out this way, and up this way, and over this way, twisting around. It's because of the structure of the root. It's why they're like that. And that root of knowledge, of love, has got to be structured right if we're going to love right. Now, I'm trying to help you. If you listen to Brother Hall, believe it will.
Amen.
And then that knowledge directs our love toward God and man. Listen to what the Lord said in Luke 11:52. He said, woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away what? The key of knowledge. What do you reckon that key of knowledge is? I never thought of it, but it might be love. Love may open up all knowledge and all understanding. It is, as I say again, the pinnacle of our Christianity. It's the crown. It's the queen. It's the queen that all other virtues are laid at its feet is love. Now I'm going to say, I grew up with a bunch of Baptist preachers that they thought you had to be mean as a dickens to be a Baptist preacher. If you wasn't mean, I mean, you just wasn't a Baptist preacher. I mean, you never said anything about love. I mean, it was always ripped, cut, tear, blood and guts on the wall, you know. But I'm here to tell you, hey, there is a lot to be said about love. Why did you get married, sir? I hope it was because you love your wife. Why did you have children, ma'am? I hope it was because you love your child. Why are you in church today, ladies and gentlemen? I hope it's because you love your Lord. Is he getting through? I hope so. I hope so. Now, knowledge. Knowledge directs our love toward God and man. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in. That's the direction. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered. And I'm just simply saying that knowledge directs our love toward God and man. And these lawyers were hindering those that were trying to direct, that love was trying to direct toward the Lord. He said, you wouldn't enter in, and you're trying to hinder these that are trying to get in. And they did, and I'm telling you, there's people like that today. Not maybe necessarily in their word, but in deed. They wouldn't tell you they are, but in the deed, in the way they act, they are hindering people from loving one another exactly like that Bible says we ought to. Amen. That's right. Now, I want to say thirdly, there's a discernment of love knowledge. He said that ye may approve, that ye pray, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more, not only in knowledge, but also in all judgment. That is, in all moral perception. Love ought to be able, love perceives some things. Did you know that? It's got some discernment about it. It's got some spiritual discernment about it. In an accurate and delicate, moral discernment suited for all phases and emergencies of life. That's love. His exact meaning is explained by the next words in verse 10, that ye may approve all things that are excellent. In other words, you may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment. Why? That you may approve all things that are excellent. My goodness. Approve them. Count them to be right. Is anybody listening? The apostles' prayer then, I want you to get, this is the prayer. That the love of the Philippians may be accompanied with abundant knowledge and with all delicate moral perception to the end that they may try to test and try so as to distinguish things which differ. And there are some things that differ that only love has the ability to discern between. I can see we're not getting very far. This kind of love has the ability to shun darkness and to love light. This kind of love has the ability to distinguish Christian virtue from counterfeits. Hey, the whole, hey, I'm going to tell you, God help us. I've been around some folks that run their mouth, and you can tell right from the very get-go that their Christianity is as counterfeit as a $4 bill if they ever printed one of them. You know it is. Some of you are that. Some of you are not that ignorant. You know what I'm talking about. You've been around some people and listen to them talk, and what they're saying just don't ring a bell in your heart. They just don't. I mean, they just don't. You just don't gee-haw with them. You know why? They're counterfeit. They come off the wrong press. It's like these guys today, counterfeiting these $100 bills. They may look like a $100 bill. Same color. have numbers on them. But I'm going to tell you one thing. They may even spend a few of them, but they ain't American $100 bills, friend. I'm going to tell you, there's some folks that can even spend that counterfeit $100 bill. But I'm going to tell you, it's in reality. It's not real. It's a counterfeit that will absolutely bring them nothing before God. Not one thing. But I'll tell you what it will do. It'll harm others. What do you think would happen to our church if every morning the offering plate passed by and all you threw them was a counterfeit $100 bill? It wouldn't be long. The width has some real problems. What if Miss Ruth give us our checks every week? Instead of giving us checks, she'd give us money. And that's all she done. She had a printing press outside. She was printing off $100 bills. She'd give counterfeit $100 bills. It wouldn't be long. All of us would be in there saying, wait a minute, Miss Ruth, what are you doing? It's a counterfeit. Oh, no, I didn't counterfeit. Look at it. That's a $100 bill. But I took it up to the bank, and they put a mark on it, and with that pencil, and they said it ain't real. Sometimes you can put a mark on somebody, and here's the mark, this book. Now I'm going to tell you, when you put that mark on them, they tell you it ain't real, it's counterfeit. Now I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that discernment, that's the discernment he's talking about, amen, approving things that are right, approving things that are good, that discernment that he's talking about has the ability to distinguish Christian character from the real and the counterfeit. Right. Then also, it has the ability of seeing in an apparent conflict of duties what present duty is really is. I'm talking about right priorities. Now, I'm going to make some of you mad in a wet hornet, and I'm just going to be honest with you, I don't really care. I don't really care. But I guess in a way I do care. Because I want to see people get right. But I'm just simply telling you that real knowledge and love has the ability to tell us in our duties what is right and what's wrong. And I'm going to tell you, it told me a long time ago that it is right to go to church and it is wrong to lay out of church. Somebody said, oh, but I got to work. Oh, but find you another job. Somebody said, well, I can't do that. Don't tell me you can't do that. I did. I know plenty of others that have. I'm going to tell you why folks lay out of church on Sundays anymore. It's called M-O-N-E-Y. That's why. Thank you. I know you love Brother Hall for that. But I'm going to tell you, somebody said, well, and here's what they'll say. Here's what they'll say, Brother Troy. Well, but you don't understand, preacher. I got to make a living. You think God don't understand that? God knows you have to make a living. Do you think God cannot provide a living for you? Sure God can provide a living for you. When do you think he's going to be more apt to provide that living? When you are right in your duties toward God or when you're wrong in your duties toward God? I say when you're right. When's God going to bless you more? When you're right in your duties or wrong in your duties? Somebody said, well, we don't have to come to church to be a Christian. Show me that in the Bible. My Bible tells me that God, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And buddy, we're to love the things he loves. And we're to hate the things he hates. He hates sin. We're to hate it. He loves the church. We're to love the church. Amen. Amen. That's right. Some of you proved this past week how much you love the church. Some of you all worked back here. And I'm telling you, I give you all the honor for it. I mean that you did things and decorated, made things so pretty around here. Things that Brother Hall couldn't do. Ain't no way I could dream up the things that these ladies dreamed up, them vases full of candy and stuff. I couldn't dream it up, but I'll tell you what I can do. I can eat it. Amen. Yeah, that's right. But you see what I'm saying? Our duties. Our duties. Then it also, of deciding accurately which of two ways of pursuing Christian work is better. It also shows of avoiding moral pitfalls, however carefully covered over that they might be. And then this spiritual discernment, of knowledge, love of knowledge also, is a habitually saying. It teaches us habitually. It's habitually saying and doing the right thing at the right time in the right way, and thus growing ever in Christ. It says the right thing. It does the right thing. Does the right thing at the right time. It's like apples of gold and pictures of silver. It's like a word fitly spoken in a proper place, this love that I'm talking about. And it knows the right thing and when to say it, when not to say it. You know, all it takes sometimes is one word. One word, the wrong way. And brother, I'm telling you, it brings tragedy. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes all it takes is one word in the right way, and it'll bring love. Can I give you a little, for instance? I'm standing about 18 years ago in a meeting at Brother Nolan's. We've been in a camp meeting. Now I'm pulled into this gas station, had to put in gasoline, had to go inside and pay. I'm standing to wait to pay. Now I can feel this guy behind me, and I can tell that he's a big guy. Well, I'm standing there, and he said, "Hey, fella," he said, "or just slap your stupid brains out." I turned around and looked at the guy, had a big beard and everything, you know. And I said, "Sir, I'm a Christian. I love you. I'll pray for you if you'll let me." And he looked at me and he said, "Don't you know who I am?" I said, "No." And he said, "I'm John Tone. I used to work with you. I worked with a fellow for 2 years and didn't even recognize him." Now, I could have turned around big and bad and said, "Have at her, big boy!" And I'm going, you know what would have happened? Wrong word, wrong time, wrong place, blood and guts on the wall, and it wouldn't have been his. But are you listening to what I'm saying? Just saying the right word at the right time in the right place can save us a lot of problems. Or it can bring us a lot of blessings. One of the two. One of the two. Are you still staying with me? Then there's the desire of love and knowledge. He said that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Love, love's knowledge defends us from falling. That word offense means to stumble. It'll keep us from stumbling. It sure will. Perfect love will keep us from stumbling. And I'm talking about spiritually stumbling. It won't keep me from physically stumbling. And then there's the diligence of that love's knowledge. It said, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Can I read you a little scripture here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this giving all diligence. Peter said, don't play around with this thing. It's nothing to toy with. By the way, folks, Christianity is nothing to toy with. It's real. It's either heaven or hell. We're not playing babies' games no more. We've gotten out of the infancy stage to manhood. We're not playing little games anymore. Brother Peter said, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and then to your virtue what? Knowledge. Then add to knowledge what? Add to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness what? Here we are. We're getting to that pinnacle now. Brotherly kindness. And then to brotherly kindness what? Charity. Then Peter looked around a while and said, for if these things be in you, if these graces, these virtues, if they be in you, if they be in me, and abound, he said. There's that other word. He said, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in what? In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, a man that lacketh these things is blind. Can I tell, say this to you? Love is not blind. There's no such thing as blind love. Love's not blind. He said, a man that lacketh these things is blind. He cannot see afar off. And he's even forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now that longing for love. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, if there's anything that we as Christians ought to long in our hearts for while we're on this earth, we oughtn't to long for wealth, or we oughtn't to long for possessions or treasures, a name, power, prestige. We ought to long for one little four-letter word, L-O-V-E. Somebody said, you're just a compromising little sissified preacher. Then Jesus must be. And God must be, because the Bible said God is not the essence of love. He is love. And Christ loves. And Christ loves. And Christ shall forever love.
Amen.
So ought we not, if we're going to be Christ-like, to love? That's what Paul is praying for these people for. That they will have a love.
Amen.
That can be seen by all other people. And hey, and it said these little words, to the praise and the glory of Jesus Christ. In other words, our love ought to be noticeable enough that it's to the praise and the glory of Christ. No, nothing for ourselves. Because I'll tell you what little bit we can learn to love, He's put there. He's done the work, not we ourselves.
Amen.
Not we ourselves. He has. Let's stand together.